Now, what is the right theological term for us to use to describe what Abraham is up to with God in this morning's lesson from Genesis? Chutzpah? A lot of gall there, isn't there? This is Abraham arguing with God. A guy is taking issue with the maker of heaven and earth. He's not only taking issue, he's basically telling God that he's missed the big picture and that he's wrong and that he should not do what he's planning. That takes a lot of gumption. That takes a lot of nerve. But what Abraham is doing here, I believe, isn't transgressing. He's not crossing a boundary, and he's not disrespecting the relationship he has with God, but instead he is honoring it. By haggling and bargaining and dickering with God over the fate of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham has laid down a marker that he has confidence in the relationship that he has with God. He believes that he can speak hard truths. He says that he knows that the God who has made him, the God who has called him into a covenant, is a God of justice. Abraham here sees his relationship with God as one that is grounded in honesty and integrity and faith and a willingness to be honest. I think that is an important lesson for us all as we think about our relationships with God and our relationships with one another. We see here a model for faithful living. And not too long after, in Genesis, we see what happens when Abraham doesn't challenge God, when he doesn't question, when he doesn't lay down a marker. You remember the story of the binding of Isaac, the Akedah? Abraham is called to sacrifice his only son, and he doesn't utter a peep. No objections, no arguments. Gets the boy, brings him up the mountain, trusses him up, and is ready to plunge the dagger in until his hand is stayed by the angel. We have no evidence after that incident that Abraham and Isaac ever spoke to one another. Nor is there any evidence that Abraham and Sarah spoke after that moment. Rather than displaying a deep and mature faith on that mountaintop, Abraham gave into what? A mindless fundamentalism. One that jeopardized his relationship with his family and, I believe, did not honor his relationship with God. He should have spoken up. He should have said something. He should have had the confidence in that relationship, in that covenant, to say to God, I trust you to talk honestly with you. I trust you to talk honestly with you. That is what each of us is called to do with God, and it is what we are called to do with one another. To engage in conversation and dialogue, to listen to one another as much as we talk to one another. Now that involves taking risks. Think about what Jesus tells his followers when he discusses prayer with them. Gives them a model for prayer. It's one that we still use and employ to this day. When we come before God and we share the Lord's Prayer. Of course, the version that Jesus shares is a little bit different from the one that we say every week. We make ours conditional when we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's a variability in what happens there. But hear what Jesus says. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Jesus is saying that there is some action that needs to be taken before we can come pray, that we need to clear the decks, that we need to make our relationships with one another right. Then we can start asking God for stuff. And what happens when we ask God for things? Well, Jesus does not promise that we are going to get what we seek. We might ask for a pony. We shouldn't count on the little horse showing up. But what Jesus does promise is that when we pray to God, we should expect good things to happen. That God is not going to lead us down a blind alley. That God isn't going to deliver evil to us. So as a child asks for a fish, he will not be given a snake. Or as a child asks for an egg, he will not be given a scorpion. No promise that the kid's going to get the fish or the egg. Just an assurance that bad things aren't going to happen. What we will get when we ask God to hear our word is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can take us to places that we may not anticipate, places that we may not expect. Jesus is asking us, he's telling us really, to have confidence, to trust God, to be faithful. And our prayer lives, the way we communicate with God, ideally, will shape the way we communicate with one another. Now, one of the things the church, and this is the wider church, not just our congregation, seems to be focused on these days is a desire to be relevant to society. I'm often uncomfortable when I hear that language because it suggests that our message of love and grace and service isn't somehow relevant. I can't think of a message that is more needed by the world than what we hear in Scripture and what we've come to know in Jesus. But what I do know is that if we want to share this message with others, we've got to find new ways to do it. And the church has to live its common life differently than it has in the past. Maybe we can find a way to set an example, to model some behavior that the wider culture will begin to appreciate. One of those ways can be exploring and talking about tough issues. I don't know about you, but I have really been put off in recent weeks by the amount of shouting and finger-pointing and anger that I've seen on TV and in the newspaper, on the internet. No one's listening to anybody. Everybody is just telling and talking. And that's not the way we build up a community. Not nationally, not locally. One of the things our national church has been trying to do is encourage conversations across the denomination and within individual congregations around the topic of race. And it can be hard. And I don't always agree with the format that they propose for these conversations or some of the language I think can be off-putting to people. But when I say things like that, and I thought about that as I was doing my sermon prep before, I thought, you know, that's the way you start going down the road to then not talking or listening, because you start finding reasons to not engage. I don't think that we, as people of faith, have the luxury of not engaging around issues like race. I will confess that I do not understand why people are bothered by a slogan like Black Lives Matter. What's the problem here? No one's saying only Black Lives Matter. No one's saying Black Lives Matter more. No, we've got a community that is saying our lives matter, and people haven't been paying attention to us. And the reality is, for so many of us, we really don't understand the struggles that our brothers and sisters in the African American community are dealing with. We don't have to deal with it. I read a story in the Wall Street Journal last week that really gave me pause. Tim Scott, who is an African American United States Senator from South Carolina, was challenged by one of the Capitol police officers about being in the Senate. He was wearing his pin, and there were only 100 senators. I mean, it's not as if they can't know what these guys look like. But the way the officer talked to him made it clear to Scott that the man didn't think he belonged there. 2016. Most of us have never had to deal with anything like this in our lives. We need to talk about this stuff. We need to learn about these issues. I think you've all probably figured out by now that our congregation and indeed our Upper Valley community does not reflect the demographics of the wider United States. We are the past. It's just a simple statement of fact. I believe our faith is about living into the future. We can help people get there. We can help people appreciate and value the amazing diversity of God's creation. My plan over the coming year is for us to find ways to dig deeper into these issues, and we'll do it through some preaching and we'll do it through some classes, but we need to engage these issues. And we need to have some tough conversations. But I think in doing so, we can honor our relationships with each other and our relationships with God. In doing so, we can be the church at its best. So let's talk. And let's listen. And let's trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us and sustain us.